Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of That Movie Show. Mike Wendt and Eddie McCabe taking you through another week of movie talk. Eddie, how you doing today?
Oh, it's a great day for movies, and I'm just dandy.
Are you now? How's the month 87 of quarantine COVID doing for you?
The days have all blended together. I've stopped counting because I've lost wall space, so I can't tally mark anymore. I pray.
You're like the lifer in prison that's like, why am I even counting?
Yeah, why am I even counting at this
life
point?
Life is life.
I officially stopped counting when the governor of Massachusetts said that he was probably going to have us go back to like stage two.
Phase two.
And I was like, oh, so if that happens, then I'm never going to go back to work. And I've like just thought about like crazy living scenarios where it's just like, well, if I buy an old school bus, I can make one of those like fun things, and then I can just drive around the country like the road warrior.
Yeah, yeah. Be a gypsy, a podcast gypsy.
I'm gonna be a podcast gypsy. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna roll my bus.
Just for content, you should do that because it would be a much nicer background if it changed states every week.
So here's the thing: I've basically had the. Like on the past few weeks of this show, I've had like a major like podcast announcement because
well, that's the funny thing. I was going to save it for a little bit, but we might as well jump right into it. You and I both launched two wrestling podcasts. Yours was people know about and mine is brand new.
Yeah. So, you know, like, well, the last time we did this show, we talked about it and I was like, yeah, the New Age Insiders are like kind of back. And by kind of back, it's me doing old school wrestling pay-per-view reviews. And that's what that is. And so my new venture is that I've started looking around because, you know, I have nothing else to do. So I watch movies that I've seen a million times and I scroll through Instagram. That's what I do at the Eddie McCabe. Follow me. It's a ton of fun. Yep. But I've gotten to this point, just to touch on Instagram real quick. I've gotten to the point where I've started taking pictures of action figures. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to, like, I saw, like, a bunch of people post it, and I'm going to get, like, real crazy in sets with it, but I'm trying to hold off that crazy for now. But I get ads for airplanes, and they're like, hey, Southwest flights are only $50. Yeah. And so I'm like, you know what might be really fun? Because I have a very high-quality video camera and a lot of time, mm-hmm. and I can afford $50. So what if I fly to a place for 24 hours and film the experience?
I mean, sure. I'd say do it.
Oh, yeah. That's the plan.
Let me put it this way. I've heard of a lot worse ideas that have become more successful. So go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, look, there is a very popular internet show, and I love it, but there's a very popular internet show where people just eat buffalo wings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's very popular.
Yeah, to the point they actually got a real TV show and everything.
Yeah. So, you know.
Amazing.
You never know.
So, yeah, why the hell not? So you brought back the New Age Insiders, and without even having a conversation, I started a wrestling show that sounds very similar. Myself and my friend Rich started two guys watching wrestling, and we're just going to be a anthology, if you will, series-based podcast that is going to go back and watch old wrestling, but we're going to basically take just some of the more absurd angles and kind of cover them in multi-part series. So the first one we did, there's one episode out already, is the Black Scorpion storyline.
Oh, from that's a good one.
1990 WCW. So we started with Great American Bash 1990. Wow, it's terrible. And it's available at the least, I know, iTunes or whatever Apple is calling their podcast service now. It's available there. And, you know, the podcasting services will come as time goes on. So you got the New Age Insiders back. Is it on audio or just YouTube?
No, it's so right now it's just video.
I went the opposite direction and just audio.
I knew that I wanted to do video first. Yep. Out of all of the social media apps that the New Age Insiders had, the least developed one was YouTube. Naturally, I decided to pick that one. But I also looked at all of our audio stuff because like we used to have to like pay for it, and because that's what you have to do when you do like shows like this that are more a little bit more than hobbies. And well,
most services give you about 10 hours. So if you do more than 10 episodes or 2 hour, 5 episodes, you know math.
Yeah, you're fucked. You're fucked. And then it's like it's $20 for like 1,000 hours, and so it's like that'll last you for a while. And so basically I logged on to the New Age Insiders account and they were like, you're 10,000% over. And I was like, oh, how much is it going to cost to like actually just reactivate it and everything? And they were like $700. And I was like, oh no.
Wow.
No. Yes.
Had a lot of shit in there, huh?
Well, because we paid for like one of the, like, again, the New Age Insiders like made money, not enough to like cut like a really big check or anything.
You guys also had 5 years of audio in there.
Right. We had 5 years of audio, but enough money was made on a monthly basis through Patreon and t-shirts and advertising revenue and stuff that like, oh yeah, we could easily pay for the highest version of that. And it didn't cost us, the business paid for it.
It was beneficial. Know? Yeah.
Right. And so, yeah, the entirety of the New Age Insiders is like on there, So, and it's just like, oh, I don't know if I'll be able to do the audio. And so I was like, yeah, well, I wanted to do a video show anyway. And so YouTube is free. So, I'll just do that. I think that I'm not going to do it every week because that would get exhausting, because like between watching a movie for this every week, I do the video series on Evenings with Eddie, which wraps up today that we're recording this. Yep. And so like that starts a new series next week. And so I got to watch a movie for that. And then I got to, having to watch a wrestling pay-per-view every week is just like, oh no, too much stuff.
The struggle, right?
Yeah,
I have to get up and watch another movie.
Although, I gotta watch a bunch of stuff.
Truly, that's kind of how I feel most days too.
Yeah,
it's amazing. It's like when you have to watch something, you try to put it off as long as possible. Like we could get up and watch hours and hours of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia every single day, but I have nothing to gain by watching that. I have to watch Total Recall, so it's like, oh. Do I have to sit down? And then you watch it like, oh, this is wonderful. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I have sat and I've had that conversation because like mostly what I do during the day, with myself, is like I'll be watching the radio, right? Like I'll actually be watching 98.5 The Sports Hub, which they're like simulcast on TV, which is just basically this, like if you're watching the video of this show and not listening to the audio, it's literally the same thing. Yeah, first of all, thank you, but that's what it is. It's just you're watching a radio show, and it's a bunch of people talking. Right. And so it's just like, oh, I'll watch that for literally 8 hours. But then the second it's just like, oh, but I don't want to watch another Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Until you start watching.
And then I watch Total Recall, and I'm like, this movie is so stupid. And it has like almost the same problem that I have with Sucker Punch, but not really.
Not really. It's a lot better than Sucker Punch.
Oh, no, it's a lot better than Sucker Punch. But the main question of this movie is the same that I have with Sucker Punch,
which we will get into. But before we get into that, and now that I believe, are we done shilling ourselves out? Yeah. Okay, good. 30 day film challenge.
Eddie at New Age Insiders.
Yeah. One more time. I was talking over you.
The Eddie McCabe and at New Age Insiders everywhere.
And I am at Mike Wendt. And I don't even know what my new show's Twitter account is, but I think it's at two guys wrestle pod, some shit like that. I don't know. I heard that our hashtag is popular with pedophiles.
What happened?
I put the hashtag without even researching it. Hashtag 2GWW, two guys watching wrestling, thinking that makes a lot of sense. It's a lot shorter than actually typing out two guys watching wrestling. One of my friends goes, hey, your hashtag? It's pretty popular with pedophiles. So I'm like, oh, what the fuck? I don't know how. I haven't even clicked on it at this point to look at it. But really, it's the simplest thing I could put down. 2GWW at two guys watching wrestling. It's like, that's like, what the hell? I don't know what they could be searching for. But you know what? If they want to hear us talk about wrestling, by all means, come on in.
Sure.
Whatever. It's just that's again, it's perfect. That's 2020 for you. I can't even pick a good hashtag anymore.
Yeah. Christ.
Oh shit. Anyway, now that silliness is over, 30 day film challenge. Let's start talking movies. Because there's two bits of news and our 30-day film challenge before we get to Total Recall. Yeah. So today is day six of the 30-day film challenge that Eddie and I did on Instagram and social media. And today is your favorite animated film. Eddie?
Yeah, mine is The Incredibles.
Okay.
I absolutely love Disney and Pixar's The Incredibles. It's so fun. It's, you know, just kind of one of those movies that I just smile from ear to ear when I watch it.
And we covered it in the archives.
Yeah.
It is in the archives. We had two unmade shirts that we probably would have been sued if we actually made. Oh, Electric Jesus and Great Ass.
Yeah.
If you want to know what the context is, go back and listen to our Incredibles podcast.
Yeah.
Mine also a Disney one. Surprise, surprise. It was The Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, that's a good one.
Which was part of... It's basically... If you buy it on DVD, it's The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad.
Yeah.
But I'm more a fan of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. More importantly, how it aired originally on, I believe it was Wonderful World of Disney or Wonderful World of Color. Sure. One of those. Because it had... it was like Walt was hosting it. And there was like a pre-show thing. It's one of the coolest things that you can only find if you had, like, there was a DVD box set that was released for D23 only. And it was like, I want to say 500 discs or 50 discs or something like that. Basically, if you want to find it on eBay or something, it's like $3,000. It's ridiculous. But it's a DVD box set of literally every episode of TV that Disney has ever produced. So Wonderful World of Color, Magical World of Disney, Disneyland, all of the original TV episodes on either 50 or 500, I forget, DVDs. And it's like one of those holy grail things for a physical media collector like me. And probably something that I don't know. It's probably going to take Disney Plus a while to get those old TV shows on just because of the demand for them or lack thereof. But yeah, this was Legend of Sleepy Hollow. Still one of my favorite animated films ever. And the story, the everything about it, like the even the songs are still catchy to me when I go back and watch it. That's definitely when I always look to, you know, favorite Disney animated films. I either point to that or Robin Hood.
Robin Hood's a fun one too.
The animated classics. On to news.
Yes.
Let's see. So, some Batman news, and being that you're more the resident Batman guy than I am, I have some questions.
Yeah, sure.
Ben Affleck has signed on to return as Batman in the Flash movie, and Michael Keaton is going to be in it as Batman as well.
Yeah. So, my thought process when I hear that news, one, very excited, because I absolutely love Ben Affleck as Batman.
Sure.
I think that out of all of the people that have portrayed Batman, he has done both the best, you know,
because without any knowledge, I have always read, first of all, I agree. And as far as the current incarnation of the DCEU, and I think we even mentioned it in our Suicide Squad podcast, Ben Affleck as Batman was my favorite part of this current incarnation, but I've also heard he's the most comic accurate version of Batman.
Yes, okay. He is. And so he's the most comic accurate version of Batman. Ben Affleck plays a very convincing Bruce Wayne and Batman at the same time, because Christian Bale was good as Bruce Wayne, but not great as Batman. And like Keaton was good as Batman, but not great as Bruce Wayne, right. You know? So aside from Kevin Conroy, who is the voice of the animated series Batman, Ben Affleck, I think, is the best Batman. So I'm really glad that they're bringing him back. I'm glad that they're kind of taking that same approach with Joker. And we all know that I didn't like Joker, but they are going to allow what's his name to be in the Batman, Twilight Gentleman, whose name Robert Pattinson. He's going to go and do a Batman story, and that's fine. But then they're going to try and keep with the DCEU continuity, and
aren't
at least.
They, though?
Well,
or is this more because of Zack Snyder coming back?
So I think having Zack Snyder come back brings Ben Affleck back a little bit more.
It feels almost like DC and I guess Warner Brothers is going to be having two different DC universes happening at the same time. Because I think they want to do the Robert Pattinson one and connect that with James Gunn's Suicide Squad, whereas now that the Snyder Cut is coming to HBO Max, this is going to be more of a Snyderverse, if you will.
So the thing is that the Flashpoint movie is Snyder's, like, Flash.
Right.
So it's not a new Flash. And so it would just be easier if you just lopped off all of the Snyder stuff and had that be one.
And let him play in his own little sandbox.
Right. And have all of that be, and that includes Suicide Squad.
Right.
You know, and have that be over here, and then have the Robert Pattinson Batman kind of kickstart a different one.
Sure.
It would be lead to an interesting, like, Avengers-esque movie where you have, like, a crisis on, like, the DC version of, like, those big events is called a crisis. Okay. There's multiple universes. It's a multiverse. So, like, there have been stories where multiple Supermen get together and, like, have to solve a problem. And so, you know, you can kind of do something fun with all of these incarnations.
And even if they don't, I'm fine with them telling different stories. And if they do one-off stories, like we talked about this with that, not only the Joker podcast we did, but also the Suicide Squad. It's like, just, you don't have to catch up to Marvel. Right. It's like, if you just tell cool one-off stories, that's fine. That's what a movie is. It's right. a 2-hour experience, you know, sometimes more, sometimes less, but it's, right. you know, it's a, tell me a story. Tell me a good story. I don't give a 100%. Shit about your extended, I want to make billions and billions of dollars side of it. Just tell me a good fucking story and I'll be there for you.
Right. And so the fun part is that Batman, as played by Ben Affleck, is going to be Batman. That is who he's going to play. Michael Keaton, which is the exciting part, is in the story that they are telling, basically the timeline gets rewritten. And okay. so Flash goes back in time, does something, and then comes back, and everything's Biff
owns a
different.
Casino and has married Marty's mom.
Oh, shit. Yeah, well, exactly. Exactly. So in the version of the comic books, the night outside of the opera, the mugger comes to kill.
Your favorite.
Yeah, see, but here's the thing. The difference is that
in the comic books known as Eddie's Personal Hell.
Yeah. In this version, Bruce Wayne gets killed, and so Martha goes crazy and becomes the Joker.
Okay.
And why can't I remember his name? But his dad, Bruce Wayne's dad, he becomes Batman.
I'm gonna call him Tim.
No, that's gonna call him Thomas Wayne. And so Thomas Wayne becomes Batman in this
unintentionally
timeline.
Close.
Yeah. He becomes Batman in this timeline.
All right.
And so I would imagine that at the beginning of the movie, Ben Affleck is Batman.
Sure.
And then when we get to the time wobbly part, Michael Keaton is Batman. And Bruce Wayne.
Okay. So your guess is Michael Keaton will be playing Thomas Wayne.
Correct.
And okay. Interesting.
So he's playing Thomas Wayne, but still Batman.
Very cool. All right. I'm in.
Yeah.
Again, tell me a story. I'm in.
It's an awesome. Flashpoint is awesome.
I can't wait for that movie to come out in like 2026. That'd be wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because we're not actually making movies. We're not
actually doing anything right now.
Yeah. New Mutants is finally going to come out in like 2 weeks. And that's only because theaters are open and that movie's been finished for 5 years. It's just so bad that they keep delaying it. The first movie back is going to be New Mutants and everybody's going to be like, I hate movies.
Wasn't Nolan's movie supposed to be like the big release, the big thing that theaters are really excited about being open for? Because it's like IMAX.
That's coming out. Tenant is coming out in September.
I didn't want to say Turnt because that's not it.
Tenant.
Because I think that's September-ish. That was another one that got moved, but it was like, it's supposed to be like the big, you know, IMAX big release type of thing that theaters were really excited about getting.
I'm really excited. This weekend, I'm going to see Inception. In theaters, like, you know, because all the movie theaters are reopening and they're basically just showing classic movies because they're like, this is what we're doing because there's nothing new and
there's nothing else.
Yeah, some of the movies are the movie, like, they're picking up where they left off. Like, you could see The Hunt, I think, and, like, okay. Bloodshot. But it's also like, oh, you can watch Star Wars.
Butts
like,
and seat, pal.
Yeah, you want to go watch Empire Strikes Back? It's like, yes, I do. I do want to see Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. And moving on to something I had a lot of fun with. I can't believe it's actually been a week. We said this off air. It felt like yesterday I did this. So for years and years and years, I followed on Facebook one of the local here in Boston, Rocky Horror Picture Show groups, Full Body Cast. They have been doing live performances every Saturday night for years and years and years. They started at, I believe, the Brattle Theater. It was one of the Cambridge Art House theaters. And they became so popular over the years that they actually moved to the Boston Common AMC. And every Saturday night, they would do a midnight screening and a full-on performance of Rocky Horror. And I am a massive Rocky Horror fan. So this week, I saw a notification that they were getting together with two other Rocky Horror groups. One of them is actually, I believe, maybe both of them are based in Boston as well. One's called the Tesseract Players, and the other one is the RKO Army. And they got together for a live Twitch production of Rocky Horror Picture Show. Cool. And it was one of the coolest things I've experienced since this COVID shit went down. You could basically give donations. They were benefiting the Transgender Emergency Fund of Massachusetts. And they were on twitch.tv/Tesseract Players. And they literally, it was basically like, if you went to the theater for a midnight showing of Rocky Horror, this was it. And it was really, really cool and really creative. And it was just, it was a lot of fun. That was the main point. And it was live, started at 9:30 last Saturday night. I believe if you go to the Tesseract Players Twitch page, you can still watch it.
Can you spell that for the people?
Tesseract Players? Yeah, sure. TESSERACTEPLAYERS. Tesseract Players. I believe I actually shared a link to it on the Facebook page for that movie show. So facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv. Scroll down a little bit and you'll find the link to it. And yeah, it's their Twitch page. It was a fucking hoot, man. Like, again, yeah. I'm a huge fan of the movie. It was just a lot of fun. And
that's awesome.
That's kind of what I'm looking for these days, is just having a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. I just went and followed them, so I'm very excited. It looks like a lot of the show has been clipped out, so that you'll be able to actually
pick your favorite song type of thing.
Yeah, so you'll be able to look at different things and the actors, and so you can kind of get a feel for it, which is really exciting. So, you know, that's a ton of fun.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun, it's creative people doing something very creative for a good cause. And it was a lot of fun to watch on last Saturday night, you know, because, you know, how many times can you watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia, as I mentioned earlier?
I know. I finished all of Criminal Minds, Parks and Rec.
87.
Yeah. And
you finished Parks and Rec too? Oh my God.
I finished Parks and Rec, and now I'm working through 30 Rock. I mean, like.
Yeah. Wow, man. You are burning through those shows.
My goal, hopefully I get like a game achievement if I actually watch everything on Netflix.
Imagine that.
Like one of the.
You have officially reached the end of the internet. Congratulations.
I watched Power, that new Jamie Foxx movie.
How was it?
It was very entertaining. Again, this is one of those movies where it probably would have been like meh in theaters. But it comes directly to Netflix. It's a Netflix original movie. You know, it's just a Netflix original movie, and it was entertaining, you know? I mean, what else are you going to do, right? And
Solid quarantine movie.
It's a solid quarantine movie. It's another one of those where it's like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, like, oh my God, you need to watch this movie. But, like, if you have nothing going on and you're watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia for the 45th time, like, just watch this movie, because it's definitely worth watching.
I feel that's kind of Netflix's MO, basically. I've said it before, their TV shows, their original, like, series are always, like, really good and really rewatchable and stuff. But their movies are always like, oh, well, that was all right. I will never watch that again.
Yeah.
Like, that's how we've always, like, Netflix is like, they're really good at episodic series, but their movies are just like, okay.
I think it's because anything that's worth, like, they haven't
been able... And I'll rewatch a movie. Like, this is the 87th time I've probably seen Total Recall. You know what I mean? It's like, I'll rewatch a movie.
Right. I think it's mostly due to the fact that they just haven't cracked into that production company that makes the, like, gangbuster film. You know what I mean? Like, they just haven't found their Russo brothers that has just kind of been like, look, we have a six-picture deal, and we're going to, you know, you're going to make hit after hit after hit. Like, imagine if all of the Blumhouse movies were on Netflix.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they haven't had that type of partnership yet. And I think it's because
they gave an eight-picture deal and all their money to Adam Sandler and his crew of guys, and they've just kind of pissed it away.
Right. All those movies are
bad. Oh, you know what? I forgot I wanted to bring this up. And Adam Sandler just reminded me. If you have not yet, go subscribe to Kevin James' YouTube channel.
Okay. Because
I am not a Kevin James fan, but I stumbled upon it in one of my YouTube rabbit holes, and he is doing some wonderful things. He's basically making short YouTube videos, and they are just a hoot. So go over to Kevin James' YouTube channel, subscribe, and enjoy your time. It was a fun surprise to find that.
All right.
Total Recall, are we ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Arrest that woman!
Quaid.
Cut.
Get ready for a surprise!
We can't let him run around. He knows too much. They've got your bug.
I got a lock.
There! And the bug's in your skull.
Take this thing out of the case and stick it up your nose. Don't worry, it's self-guiding.
Got him.
I lost him.
Welcome to Mars.
You got a lot of nerve showing your face around here.
Look who's talking.
They erased your identity and implanted a new one.
If I'm not me, who the hell am I?
He's got a hologram!
Welcome to Johnny Cab.
Drive!
Where can I take you tonight? Please fasten your seatbelt.
I want Quaid delivered alive for re-implantation.
That's for making me come to Mars. You wouldn't hurt me. After all, we're married.
Consider that a divorce.
We hope you enjoyed the ride.
All right, Total Recall was released June 1st, 1990. It had a budget of $50 to $60 million. Again, these action movies back then, man, they were not made for a lot of money compared to today's standards. Brought home $261.3 million. It made a buck or two. Definitely made their money back on that one. It was written by Ronald Shusett, Dan O'Banion, Gary Goldman, and it was directed by Paul Verhoeven. Stars Arnold Schwarzenegger, Rachel Takotin, it's funny because before we started, I actually was trying to pronounce her name just so I would have it there. It was like the first time I said Io Shirai on our old Nesson show. I butchered it to hell. Sharon Stone, Michael Ironside, Ronnie Cox, and a slew of mutants. This was a hoot and holler. Eddie, first impressions, Total Recall.
Oh, man, Total Recall, ton of fun. Real fun movie. Remake. Absolute hot garbage. Don't watch it.
Haven't watched it.
Oh, don't watch it. It's all the Earth stuff. Like, they, like, redid it so it's only on Earth. And it's like, oh, that takes a lot of fun out of this movie. Like,
yeah, seriously. You know? I remember the closest I came was I was flipping through cable channels, and it was on. Well, I saw Total Recall, and I go, oh, cool. And I hit play. And it was the Colin Farrell one, I believe. Colin Farrell, right?
Right.
or I did it. And I immediately saw him and I go, oh shit, got up, went, got my Blu-ray, popped that in, watched Total Recall the way I wanted to. Like, yeah, fuck that shit.
Yeah, of course. The thing with this movie that every single time I've watched it, and maybe it's just me, but yeah, it feels like they never really answered the question as to like whether or not this is real.
Yeah, and I like that about it. And it was kind of done. It was actually, I watched some of the documentary or behind the scenes stuff on the Blu-ray. And first of all, and we'll get into it, the fact that this was almost all physical effects is one of the coolest things.
That's what makes this movie, you know, kind of like all of these type of movies that kind of came from the 80s. You're talking about practical effects, and yep, so it holds up because yep, there's something there. There's a physical thing that's there.
And again, we'll talk more about it, but whoever Paul Verhoeven was using for his squib hits, his bullet hits,
yeah,
deserved an award because it's obviously the same guy that did RoboCop because they're the same exact style of bullet hits. They are gnarly as shit and look awesome. It's one of those things you cannot compete with physical bullet hits. And when Arnold was coming up the escalator and he's using that random person as a human shield and his body's getting riddled to shit, yeah, it looks so cool. One of the writers actually commented on the ambiguousness, and he goes, yeah, we just kind of left it like, but we thought nobody would realize it. And then all of a sudden, that's all anybody was talking about.
I'm like, yeah, because
you left a major plot hole open.
Well, and it's crazy because there's enough in there in the beginning that it feels like they did it on purpose. But at the same time, this movie feels like nothing is done on purpose. You know what I mean? Like, so because
and a lot of it, you know, we just were talking about the practical effects. The only real digital effect in the movie is the the X-ray skeletons when they're at the airport.
Yeah.
And it was really the only digital effect, and it happened completely by accident because again, I was watching this in the behind the scenes. There's a whole behind the scenes stuff on some of the models they used, which was, again, really fucking cool that this was all like massive models, miniature models. And the digital guys that were talking about this, basically they needed Arnold in a black suit so they could attach the white balls to him so they could, you know, shoot his body, the screen capture, whatever the fuck it's called. Well, wardrobe fucked up and he was wearing white. And so the effects guy goes, oh, Arnold, you're supposed to be wearing black today. He goes, well, you don't tell me that. You tell wardrobe that, and I'm not going to go back right now, so let's just shoot whatever we can shoot. Like, he wasn't going to go back to wardrobe and get a black suit. He was like, fuck you, I'm shooting right now, or we're going home. And they shot it, and basically, when they inputted it, apparently the final step of the process screwed up, and if he wasn't wearing white, all the footage would have been a waste. But the fact that he was wearing white, they could pull his body movements off of that and composite that onto the skeleton. So he's like, yeah, the fact that he was being stubborn and wouldn't go back to wardrobe kind of worked out for us because it saved the day. And again, nowadays you could just put, you know, a wireframe into After Effects and have a little skeleton move. It's very simple. So the fact that it took all that manpower to have a happy accident was pretty, pretty cool. Also, a trope of these movies that we keep seeing, average Joe Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
He's normal construction worker Douglas Quaid when we start out. It's funny because they do their best to try to, like, tone down Arnold before the shit hits the fan. It's like they dress him in a few different layers and frumpy clothes and have him be like a normal guy. But it's like, yeah, come on. He's Superman.
You know? Right.
He's the
Well, and Hulk. That's the
that's It's the like thing you see like, him you see him wake up in bed and he's just bulging in every way.
Right. And that's the thing with this movie that it's like, because it's Arnold, it feels like the ambiguity works because again, like, we needed him to be this, but he's just a construction worker. He's just this normal guy. So it's like, oh yeah, I believe that this guy went to the like you know, memory implant machine, and they were like, oh no, we tried to like brainwash this guy and just drop him off in obscurity so he wouldn't be a super spy anymore.
Right.
And we didn't think that he would actually like do that. Like, right. You know? And so it's like, oh, that makes sense. Like that makes sense. But,
and of all the things as a construction worker, they could have given him, of course they give him the jackhammer with a sleeveless shirt to just really pump up those muscles.
I know.
That's all I'm seeing. I know. Like, I don't even know what him and Harry were talking about, but Harry's struggling like hell with that jackhammer, and Arnold's just sitting there being like, do you like my biceps?
Yeah, right.
They're all oiled up and shit. It's like, yeah. My God, man.
God damn it, Arnold.
You like, know, really? But this guy's going to turn into a superhero? Shocking.
Yeah, shocking. I didn't know.
Mr. Muscle over here.
Couldn't see that coming. You know, it's like, well, we had to give him something that he was working with his hands, because otherwise, if he was just some pencil pusher, it just wouldn't have made sense.
It would have been funny, though.
It would have been really funny if it was just like, he sells insurance.
I mean, that's basically what he does in Jingle All the Way.
Yeah.
He's a mattress salesman.
Yeah, that's right. It's like, I don't believe this. I don't believe the thing.
What? You're the only mattress salesman that works out four times a day.
Yeah, right.
Where do you find the time?
And, you know, it's so funny because that's the thing. The character that we're presented in the early part in this film is like, really sad about his life. Like, yeah. He's just like, oh, I'm a nobody and this is awful and I need some excitement in my life.
He dreams of going to Mars and having adventures with his exotic friend there, and yeah, he has a dream. He's a man. Douglas Quaid is a man with a dream.
Right.
Unfortunately, his wife Sharon Stone wants no part of his dream. She's just happy being on Earth, because it looks like Mars is basically New York and Escape from New York.
Yes.
You know, it's overrun. You can die at any minute. It's the seediest place on Earth. It's every red light district you've ever seen in a movie set in New York City.
Right.
You know, yes. I mean? Yeah. Set in pre Giuliani Times Square. It's basically that.
Yes.
Neon lights and prostitutes everywhere.
Right.
Only this time they're mutants with three tits.
Yeah. And yes, they are. And
which, let's be honest, if you grew up around this time in 1990 and saw this, and you were under the age of maybe 30, or even if you were, that's all you remember about this movie. It's like, oh, that was one of the three boobies.
That is what I remembered. It was one of the first movies that I noticed when I was like, oh, because again, you know, I saw this.
I might have been like 10, 11 years old at the time. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember the three boobies.
I was one.
You were one, yeah. So you definitely weren't watching this.
No, I didn't watch this. But by the time I could watch it, it was like on free TV all the time. And again, it was the 90s. So they were just like, yeah, who cares? We don't see nipples, so who cares?
Yeah, kind of. You see three of them.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You do. Look, see three.
They
of
said
them.
We couldn't show two, so we showed three. Yeah,
very different. It was very, very different.
The German three.
Yes, the German three. So basically he goes to the memory place.
He goes to recall.
So and it's really fun. Like, the idea of recall is very fun. It's just like, look, we're gonna give you memories for shit that you didn't have.
Yeah, it's a warped way of basically what became virtual reality.
Right.
Like, they're actually implanting shit in your brain at recall, whereas virtual reality, it's like, okay, download this trip and put this helmet on and you're there.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you've done virtual reality. You know, we used to be able to go out and do things.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I remember, I think you actually were streaming it or something like that. And it was hilarious. It was a girl, and like, she was on like the edge of like a beam outside of a building. Yes. And she was freaking out. And I'm like, this is... Oh, no, I was there with you.
You were there with me.
I was there. Yeah. It was right before we started the wrestling show on Nessun.
Yeah.
We were there to discuss that, I believe. And holy shit. It's like, I'm watching her have real reactions.
Yeah.
To a fictitious environment. And that's what recall was. It's just, you can't have, you know, 90 minutes of Arnold laying in a chair with a helmet on. That'd be way too easy.
Right. But it's so weird because, like, he ends up taking the super spy. Like, he buys the super spy one.
Of course he does.
And
he's, because he's been dreaming about this. You know, right. we establish in the opening scene that he's been dreaming about this adventure with this very specific woman on Mars. So he goes in and he thinks, Doug Quaid thinks, he's just buying his fantasy.
Yeah.
Now,
right.
Possibly.
Maybe.
He might be having actual memories of days when he was Hauser, secret spy on Mars.
Yeah.
Maybe.
The
whole thing's very ambiguous.
Yeah, and it's so crazy because this movie starts and it goes off the rails immediately.
Well, I like the little technician as soon as Arnold's sitting in the chair getting strapped in. And it's one of those lines that has always stuck out at me. It'd be like, if this ever was said to me in this type of environment, I'd be like, nope, I'm going home.
I'm out.
He straps him to the chair and the tech goes, first time here at Recall? He goes, yes. He goes, oh, don't worry, we rarely fuck up. It's like, what? Like, yeah, what? Wait a minute. No, get this off of me right now. Rarely is not always never.
A buddy of mine told me he went skydiving one time. The first time he ever went skydiving, they're up in the plane about to go out, and one of the other guys that's like the normal skydiving guy, because you have to go tandem the first time, he looks at my buddy, and he goes, hey, man, like, you might want to tighten that strap. And it was just like a very key strap that strapped the two of them together. And it was just like, oh, yeah, no, thank you. No, no, thank you. I don't know if you're messing with me or like that was a thing that had happened. But
like,
here's
the thing. If I'm skydiving for the first time and it requires me to be attached to a person who knows how to skydive, my hands shouldn't touch anything because I don't know what I'm doing. So if you tell me to tighten something big, no, pal, you tighten it.
Yeah,
I'm not the professional here. I'm the guy that spent $30 to jump out of a plane.
So yeah, you're 100% right. If I'm at Recall and they go, don't worry, we rarely scramble your brains. It's just
rarely we turn you into an omelet.
Yeah, no, thank you.
No, thank you.
You know, and so this thing is bananas. Yeah. But, you know, we see things in this scene. Like, I believe it's this scene where we see the sunset on Mars.
Yes.
You know, so that's where these, like, implanted memories kind of, like, give you that ambiguous thing at the end. Because it's like, well, is the sunset on Mars just the Recall place? Mm-hmm. Like, just it's a mixture of all those things. Did they fuck up and he's an omelet and this is all what ended up happening? You know, I listened to How Did This Get Made, and Jason Mantzoukas, who is a fantastic comedian and also in the John Wick movies, because he's great.
I mean, he'll always be Rafi in the league to me.
Yeah. And so he's fantastic. But one of the things he has on that show is this a Jacob's Ladder situation? Is this good. The dying moments of this man? Like, is that what happened?
Yeah. Because... So it's left very, like you said, very ambiguous. We don't know what we're seeing because the female technician claims that they didn't put the implant in. They haven't even started yet. And he's already freaking out. But does that mean we're seeing him in a freak out of already being to Recall, and he's just kind of vegging out on the chair, getting ready to die? Or is Hauser really coming through Quaid, and he actually is now having actual recall of an actual time where he really was a spy? Ooh, deep. It's a thinker. Total Recall. Yeah. A thinker.
Because that's the thing. Either this movie is incredibly deep, or they fucked up.
Look, I don't know if you've ever seen behind the scenes footage of Paul Verhoeven. It's the work of a madman.
Yeah.
He's literally insane.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you posted, you tweeted the video today of Vince McMahon jumping off the thing in front of Rob Gronkowski. Yeah. Paul Verhoeven is the movie version of Vince McMahon. Like, he's literally the one doing all the stunts before Arnold Schwarzenegger does the stunts. Like, he's running. He's a lunatic. And he's a lunatic presenting 2 hours of an adventure movie on Mars. So, yeah, it's going to get a little weird.
Yeah, it is. And everything that happens after Recall is fun. I mean, the pacing of this movie is very, very fun.
Sure.
The fact that his wife, we find out, was there to, like, make sure that this didn't happen, and now she has to kill him. Like,
everybody was. Harry from work was.
Everybody.
Harry from work. Come on, let's just go get that drink. No, I've got to go to... I told you not to go to Recall. Now he has to kill Harry. Kills Harry and a bunch of guys. Sharon Stone, yeah. She was part of the plan because she's actually Richter's girl. Yeah. Who's played by Michael Ironside, another Paul Verhoeven staple. And so now she has to kill him, and he's already pissed off because his girl has been with Arnold, which, you know, I'd be pissed too if that's like, oh, shit, I can't compete, man. Come on. I'm Michael Ironside. That's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Come on, man. Yeah, you know, I don't care how small his dick is. that's rough.
Right. Right.
So she fails to kill him. And Michael Ironside and his crew show up and they try to kill, everybody's trying to fucking kill him.
Right.
And now he's on the run. And
yeah,
again, it's a very ambiguous plot where, it's not an ambiguous plot, but like the steps of it, you never know who's telling the truth and who's really trying to help him, because, you know, he gets a video from Hauser, AKA himself, telling him how to escape. But that video is then revealed to be all a work, and it's like, oh no, he's working with Ronnie Cox's character the whole time, and they're buddies instead of actually against each other. He didn't turn on him because the video pans back and they're hugging and being very awkwardly happy together.
Right.
Clearly, they were ad-libbing at that point because Arnold's just mumbling things.
Yeah.
But then we get the guy who drops the briefcase, who's got all the gear and all the secret identities and stuff like that. And basically, he says he was part of his team on Mars. But again, is that guy really trying to help him? Because he's the one that leaves the video of Hauser. Ooh, it's a thinker. This is a deep fucking movie, man.
It is.
You never knew how deep Total Recall was. That's why you got to listen to that movie show. We break shit down.
Right. And it's just like,
we're the thinking man's podcast.
Yeah, we're the thinking man's podcast. And like, this movie... It just feels like there's no objective from the jump. It just feels like we just had this memory thing be the catalyst to this nonsense because Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't really have like a goal.
And I think that's kind of explained through Ronnie Cox's character, because towards the end, he explains that Michael Ironside actually fucked up the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, because Michael Ironside, Richter, is pissed at Schwarzenegger, as we just mentioned, because he's been fucking his girl the whole time. And then he actually kills Sharon Stone. And it's like, Melina kills Sharon Stone, but whatever. Oh, no, Schwarzenegger did. Yeah, because they consider it a divorce line. Yes. So now he's really pissed and he's going rogue. So Ronnie Cox is like, yeah, we had a well laid out plan to get you back to Hauser. And it all got fucked up. He literally says, I'm surprised this even worked, when he's putting Schwarzenegger and Molina back into the recall chairs to melt their brains. He's like, I can't believe this actually worked and we got you here. So I think to your point, it's like that, even that was done on purpose.
Right.
The fact that it's a hodgepodge of coincidences was done on purpose.
Yeah, it's very weird because it's just like, yeah, it is a hodgepodge. It's a hodgepodge of stuff, but it's like that's how we explain it away, of like,
right,
even the mistakes was on purpose. If you're a Patriots fan and you listen to sports talk radio, you'll understand this, but it's just like, it's how everybody explains away when Bill Belichick lets, you know, the greatest quarterback of all time walk away. It's like, oh, Bill Belichick knows he's playing chess when everybody else is playing checkers. And it's like that sort of situation where it's just like,
know on his last few years too, and he's ready to tap out, so he's kind of cruising.
Yeah, it's like, no, that's not a thing. Like, you know, when somebody reads into a novel,
goddamn Rob Gronkowski's playing chess. He's threatened to retire twice now just to go to the team he wanted to go to.
Yeah, it's true.
Think about that. Go back to when his contract was up with the Patriots. He retired, and then they let him stay on the Patriots. Then he all of a sudden he retires again. He wants to go play with Tom Brady. They offer him a thing at Tampa. He's back in playing. It's like, wait, but you were the 24/7 champion.
Yeah. Yeah. And you just relinquished it. I don't know.
That's weird. Might be the smartest man in football. Anyway, Total Recall.
Yeah. So we go through a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah. Like, so he gets to Mars, you know, and we're in, like I said, the red light district of every movie. He meets Benny the cab driver. You know, he's Johnny Cab. That was on Earth, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The Johnny Cab was on Earth, which is basically they created Uber.
Yeah.
Yeah. True.
And also, as far as the Johnny Cab goes, so I need some explanation here. Arnold skips on a tab.
Yeah.
And not only does the cab try to murder him, but it also self-destructs. Is that the mode for all these Johnny Cabs? If one guy skips on a tab, you blow everything up?
I would have to imagine that
a weird default setting.
It's it works perfectly fine for a movie that we don't have to live in this after the fact. Like, we don't have to live. We don't
How
have
many
to live
cabs do they go start. Through at this point? Because if all you have to do is dive out of the way of this moving car and then it explodes itself anyway, I would never pay for a fare anyway. It's their fucking dime. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, right. Your car exploded and I don't have to worry about this.
Exactly. Try tracking me down. So we get to Mars and, you know, Benny, the cab driver who has 5 kids, is driving him around. And he takes him to, you know, the seediest bar ever because that's where Melina works. Of course, she's a hooker.
Yeah,
because in Quaid's memory, she was sleazy and demure.
Yep.
Those were the choices he picked. And this place is just, it's full of the worst types of people.
Yeah. It's an R-rated version of the cantina from Star Wars.
That's actually very accurate. We also get I would say a cameo now, but at the time he was just a working actor. Dean Norris, who went on to play Hank in Breaking Bad, is one of the mutants in this. He's like kind of the not the lead mutant, but like the number two guy to the mutants, where we have to get Quaid to meet Quatto.
Yeah.
And Quatto is like the leader of the mutants. He's a gross fetus looking thing on a dude's belly. And he has the knowledge of the reactor that will allegedly set Mars free from Cohagen's control. Cohagen is Ronnie Cox.
Yeah.
Because he's controlling the air.
Right. He's controlling the air to the Mars colony. But if there's a generator or reactor or thing
that will melt the core.
Right.
And that will release oxygen, I guess. It's basically like the third act of Spaceballs, where they're taking air away and giving air back type of thing.
Yeah. And it is the third act of Spaceballs.
Right. So I don't know which one came first. I'm guessing Spaceballs. This was 1990, so Spaceballs definitely came out first. So they're basically copying Mel Brooks, which, you know, as you do. And
I would too.
Man's a genius. And so they gotta get Quaid to Quatto, and that ends very quickly because Benny is a mutant that's also a traitor. Leads everybody to him. Quatto gets shot like instantly, and it's very gross and very, I said, physical effects, very gross.
Yeah,
can't be replicated
when you're a fetus on a stomach, you know,
and you get a bullet through the head.
Yeah,
it's like, ew.
Gross.
This was gross before he got shot. Now it's just. Ew.
Yeah.
Anyway, he gave Quaid the information he needed, though, to start the reactor. Quaid, start the reactor. That's my best. And you gotta make your mutant hand like that.
Yeah,
it's not the Spock deal. It's the mutant deal. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. So, basically.
Why anybody else couldn't have started this goddamn reactor? It's just, you know, push down on the thing. Put your hand, make your hand like this. You don't have to be a mutant because Quaid's not. You just make your hand like this and
put it down.
Dean Norris could have done it, but no, you just want to play cards with hookers. I mean, I get it, but you know, come on, man, don't get all altruistic on me when you could have just pushed that goddamn thing too. I mean, the guy who was controlling Quatto could have done it. Take his hand, drop it down, even though he falls asleep. I guess I don't understand the whole Quatto science, because the guy dies when Quatto dies as well. So. He actually got shot to shit, so he would have been dead anyway. Anyway, everyone dies.
That's where we get the reveal after of they get captured, and we get the reveal of Hauser, right?
There's some exposition in there. Sharon Stone dies in this part because Melina kills her, kicks her ass, or something like that. That whole deal. Fast forward to they get captured, and they're strapped down at recall, and Cohagen shows the director's cut of the Hauser video, which includes the alternate ending, which is them two coming and hugging and, you know, see you at the party. Okay. Whatever. Because, you know, when you're taking over the world and you're killing mass amounts of people, party. And
right.
So
it's also so weird because this also feels very convoluted as to why he was the construction worker. You know what I mean? Like, why did we wipe your memory? You know what I mean? Like, that feels very convoluted. Like, it wasn't like
I don't know what Hauser did or saw, and that could be part of, like, I don't get it. Like, that's the part I really don't get about the story, because, and I guess it's because, well, the movie needs to movie. So you needed to have him there, because the easier thing would have just shoot the guy in the fucking head.
Right.
You know, you clearly have no problem killing everybody.
Right.
So if this guy saw some shit that you didn't want him to see, so much to the point you had to wipe his memory, dump him on Earth with a new backstory, a wife, a construction worker buddy who's also watching him, pretty much everybody involved, because upon the 87th rewatch, you do see people in that opening 15 minutes that are kind of glaring at him. It's almost Truman Show-like, where Arnold is the Jim Carrey, and everyone's kind of glancing out to the side of him. And stuff like, obviously, on your first watch, you wouldn't pick up. Like, they lingered on Harry after he finished talking for a few extra minutes, that now you know Harry's intentions. You're like, oh, they were telegraphing that. Sharon Stone kind of giving him a side-eye thing. Like, oh, okay, so there was plots. There was points to the plot there. But why?
Right.
Why they went to all that trouble, then I don't understand.
When you were okay with killing him now.
Yeah, well, at this point, because he's resisting going back to Hauser. So I don't know exactly. I guess they were just, I guess it was one of those things that they dumped him on Earth, hoping that he would not have recall or total recall, roll credits. And basically keeping him there in case they needed him again, and they would just flip the switch and turn him back to Hauser, which they were trying to do with him and Melina here.
Yeah.
They put him in the recall chair, and they were going to somehow flip him back to being Hauser. Again, I don't really understand how it works, because it's fictitious technology.
Yes.
So
definitely.
Yeah, I don't, I'm guessing they were really high.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. We yada yada, and we're going to bring atmosphere to Mars. That's the,
there it is. And so it doesn't work. And Arnold and Melina kick some ass in spectacular fashion. More physical blood everywhere. Rip Richter's arms off, which were wonderful. We go on a rampage here until we get to Cohagen. We give him the Hans Gruber effect, where he falls off the building.
Yep.
And we very land fun. Outside. But luckily, first of all, luckily Quato was telling the truth, because Richter Cohagen is kind of combating Quato's story here. And it's like, well, the reactor won't actually give people air. It'll just melt the planet. Yes. So luckily Quato was telling the truth, because Arnold does start the reactor, and just in enough time so that Ronnie Cox's head explodes outside in the atmosphere of Mars. But
Arnold
Melina and Arnold get to the point of popping eyes, but the air gets them before, you know, head explosion. So they're saved, and they can breathe in Mars. There's a sunset on Mars.
Yeah. Yep.
And
we roll credits.
Everybody's happy. The mutants all got air. They can go back to their whoring and their guard gambling and their fortune telling. And I mean, these aren't people you really would want to save in real life, but okay, cool. Give these people air. Why? They're awful. They're all criminals. Like,
awful. What
Mars is literally the gutter. It's Skid Row from Little Shop of Horrors. It's the gutter. You know what I mean? But we roll credits over a beautiful sunset and Melina and Arnold having a sensual embrace.
And he wonders if he's dreaming. And they
literally say that. Like if this is still a kiss me before we wake up or some shit, and they fade to white. And it could be a dream.
Yeah. Or you
again, total recall. Bigger thinker than you give it credit for.
It is. It's weird. It is weird, because this movie on its surface, like, you can sit there and watch it and just be like, oh, this is a dumb shoot 'em up Arnold movie. But then you're like, oh, there's actually things in here that are like, is it?
Well, I mean, and that's the Paul Verhoeven side of it. If you think about, you know, RoboCop or even Starship Troopers and stuff like that, his movies, like, you know, the sci-fi action shoot 'em ups with a deeper meaning. It's kind of like people take the George Romero movies as just, you know, zombie horror movies. But, you know, if you think about them and you dig a little deeper, they're actually, you know, they're society, you know, they're reflections on society, right, basically.
Yes.
And that's what Paul Verhoeven does. He takes these genre movies that make a shitload of money because, yeah, we got Arnold Schwarzenegger and we're blowing everything up and there's a chick with three tits in it. And we tell a deeper, we give a deeper meaning to things. You
yeah,
know?
It makes it rewatchable because like
plight of poverty and whatnot. And
yeah, know. Starship Troopers is a great example of that. Absolutely. Because if you take that movie at face value, yeah, it's a fun bug war action movie. But then if you actually look at it, it's like, oh, this is like really a commentary on like the war machine and like, oh, yeah,
you're propaganda, militarizing your society.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like, I mean, it's, yeah, 100%. And it's, he did it in Starship Troopers. He did it in Total Recall. There are those, like, they'll cut away to the fake television commercial type of things.
Yeah.
He didn't do it in this one. It is funny though, but, and it speaks to commercialism and whatnot. The funny little glaring standout of this was on Earth, Coke is advertised. On Mars, Pepsi is advertised.
That's funny.
Little subtleties like that. Not a lot. I mean, there's some average trivia and stuff like that. But the big thing was originally cast as Quaid was Patrick Swayze.
Oh, I would have loved to have seen this movie with Swayze.
Imagine that, Dalton as Quaid.
Yeah. Also, probably would have made the beginning of this movie feel a little bit more normal because, like, Patrick Swayze, look, when I see that man, he's the most handsome man to have ever lived. So the fact that that man is doing anything with his hands is shocking. But I can get
besides caressing a lady.
Yeah, I can get behind it because he at least doesn't look like, you know, Mr. Universe.
Turbo time. Yeah, I'm Turbo Man. Yeah. I got the Rock'em Sock'em jetpack. We have to do fucking Jingle All the Way this year for Christmas.
Well, that's the thing. We're doing all goofy horror movies. We should also do all goofy Christmas movies.
Oh, absolutely. Let's do it. Fucking the Rock'em Sock'em jetpack. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like,
that's the first Arnold impersonation we did today.
That was.
There you go. You got all the way to the end of the podcast without an impersonation. I'm sure the fucking commenters on iTunes will be happy. They hate my impressions.
And it's fine.
Five stars. Terrible impressions. I'll take it.
Five stars. Terrible impressions. Don't do dice. All right.
Next week.
Yes.
Coming up next week. T2, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Arnold August, T2. Your favorites.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for Terminator 2. It's arguably the greatest sequel ever made.
We got a few weeks of like that are tailor-made for you, because not only we got T2, but then we got Bill and Ted on deck.
Oh, I can't wait.
Bill and Ted warming up in the batter's box there, getting ready for Eddie September. I don't even care. It doesn't have the alliteration there.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We're starting with T2. Can't wait to do that. Then we're doing Bill and Ted. Bill and Ted 3 is happening. Oh, yeah. God. I can't.
You know what? 2020 is looking up. I'm sure
you know
it's not going to end well, though.
Yeah, no. It's going to be a bright spot.
We get a nice week out of a year, but all right, fine.
Yeah.
But thank you all for joining us on that movie show for Total Recall during Arnold August. You can follow Eddie and myself on social media at Mike Went, at the Eddie McCabe. We both have new podcasts out, Two Guys Watching Wrestling and A New Age Insider's Return to YouTube, as well as Evenings with Eddie. And you're wrapping up the Princess series, I believe?
Yeah, the last episode launched today as we're recording this, so it's up. And so, yeah, it is Moana. Moana's the last episode. I'm going to be doing the next series. I announced it, and it's going to be Kevin Smith. So all
movies
of the, Kev- all
like
the your... Kevin Smith films.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm going to do him.
So are you going to do the Clerks animated series or the abandoned pilot of Clerks starring Jim Brewer?
Maybe. We'll see.
I mean, come on.
If I can find it.
It's on YouTube. I'll send you a link. It's terrible.
If I can find it, I'll do
it. It's absolute shit. Yeah, sure. All right. Well, there you go. That's what we're all up to. And coming up next week, Terminator 2, Judgment Day. Cannot wait for that. So please subscribe on any and all podcasting apps. Tell your friends to subscribe. And, of course, follow the Facebook page. It's facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv. And, Eddie, anything else?
No.
Oh, that's it.
All right, we'll see you next week with T2.
Bye. That's Hollywood. Where any office boy or young mechanic.